Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio. Laugh. Cry. Fall asleep. Only with BBS Talk Radio. Broadcasting live from high atop the BBS Talk Radio building, you're listening to the Sam and Manu Show.
Good morning and welcome to the Sam and Manu Show.
Good morning.
It's Wednesday and it's a wintry day in Los Angeles. We're going to have some rain this afternoon.
And they're saying that the rain is actually going to drop down in the Dodgers Stadium after 8 years. Now, I know it doesn't make any sense, but apparently that little pocket right there, for some reason, the rain doesn't necessarily pour
really?
Down there. I don't know why.
How is that possible?
And I was listening to the radio. I was like, how is that freaking possible? I don't know.
Wow, that's interesting.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Are you sure that's what you heard?
I'm sure that's what I heard. I was like,
wow.
Because I like had a question about it. Like, are you serious? Are you like, what?
Yeah, like the whole sky is covered with clouds and rain and it doesn't rain there? Wow.
Yeah, I guess so. In that area of park, yeah, I was like,
if that were true, it'd be like a big deal. Don't you think everybody would know about it?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But this is KCRW.
Oh, okay. So they know what they're saying, right?
Well, you know.
They know what they're talking
about.
Well,
they were giving the weather report and everything like that. And I know they're going to get, 2 inches up in the mountains, just up here in San Gabriel Mountains and so on. That's a lot of freaking rain.
Oh, really? They're expecting that much, huh?
Yeah, up in the mountains there.
Wow.
Up to 2 inches.
Wow.
So, and then apparently, it's not going to go further north. They say, you know, that's going to affect the snow, which is really at its minimum, the worst in how many years.
Right. Oh, well, you know, what are you going to do? So how are you doing today? You still have a job?
Oh, I'm great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you do still have a job?
Oh, is that what you asked?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm not going to allow you to do that to me.
No, I mean, I'm really curious, but...
No.
But no, so you took yesterday's... my comments yesterday as a negative thing, right?
No.
Okay, you just didn't take him at all. Not negative, not positive.
No.
Bullshit.
No.
Fucking shit. You're irritated. I know that. But that's fine. Listen, because one day you'll look back, you'll listen to the show, and you'll go, you know what? He was right. But that's okay. Sometimes it takes a while for the quarter to fall. You know. You know
oh,
what
it'll
that means?
Take forever.
Yeah?
Yeah. Seriously.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about the gas yesterday and why it's so expensive and that?
Yeah.
And we were talking about...
120, what was it? 120?
Yeah, about $110, $120 a barrel.
I think it's like 120 and something now.
Yeah. And if you remember, I told you it's probably because of OPEC, you know, the countries that make the oil. It's not necessarily the refineries.
Right.
So I wanted to play you a quick clip here from CNN, and they explain exactly where that money goes out of that $3 and something that you pay.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. So let's listen to it real quick.
National average for a gallon of regular unleaded is $3.29. That is up 60 cents from a year ago. So you're saying,
average.
Why is it so expensive? Where's all this hard-earned money of mine going? Well, we're going to tell you here. Might surprise you, but the gas station gets only a small part of that $3.29, only about 7 to 10 cents for each gallon. So where's the rest of it go? To get the gas to the stations from the refineries costs about 23 to 26 cents in transportation fees per gallon. The government takes about 40 cents a gallon, 18 cents goes to the federal taxes, 22 cents to the state on average. Some states are higher, some are lower. The refineries that turn the crude oil into the gasoline that you fill up your tank with get about 24 cents for every gallon. The people cashing in the most, though, are the producers of the crude oil itself, taking in more than $2 for every gallon of gasoline that you pump. So that $100 plus per barrel, that makes up the majority of the cost of your gallon of gasoline.
Okay, so now we know. Now we know. So, yeah, it's the countries that produce, and they not only they can determine the prices right away because they control the supply. So,
yeah.
You know, when they raise the supply, the prices are going to fall. And what they do is they artificially shorten the supply so the prices mm-hmm. will be higher.
Right.
And if that's not a total – and that's a cartel. That's what it is. It's like a monopoly but on bigger scale, you know. And they're going to do whatever we want. As long as we depend on oil, they're going to hold us by the balls. There's no question about it.
Well, there's always alternative. I mean, if people would wake up and see the, you know, see the other different types of resources, you know, like going into solar power, going into, you know, like more efficient usage of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, people are working on that. It's just not going to happen overnight, you know. And we're
no, it's not going to happen overnight because, I mean, like seriously, you know, like the first water-powered vehicle, mm-hmm. right? The first water-powered vehicle was built in Australia, mm-hmm. something like 11, 15 years ago, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when he tried to bring it over here to America, mm-hmm. They just like shut him down, mm. basically.
Okay.
And the main reason behind it is because they can't afford to have that source of information anywhere else, because then it you know what I mean? It forces, you know, it would probably force gas companies or oil companies. You know, it's a threat, mm-hmm. basically, is what it comes down to.
Right.
If people switch on to water-powered vehicles, which definitely does exist, it's out there, okay? I know we have water-powered vehicles in Australia, right? And I know for a fact I have seen a water-powered vehicle here in America. But if this catches on, who's going to miss out?
No, but the let oil me ask companies. You this. How expensive is it to make that car?
Well, does it really matter? I don't know.
Of course it does, because if it's too expensive, nobody's going to buy it, and they're not going to make it. Yes, they have the resources to make and the knowledge to make a car run on anything.
Yeah.
The question is, can they make it affordable? You know, and that's not as easy to do.
Well, I know, and part of that is probably that it's not going to be made so affordable. I mean, like, what the fuck, man? People are spending, what, a couple of $100,000 on a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes between,
yeah, but would you?
You know, 50, 60.
But would you?
No,
I wouldn't either.
I
wouldn't either, and
I
most
can.
People would not.
But people who are more conscious about the planet will probably think about it.
Okay,
but
so let's say I'm conscious about the planet. Am I going to pay $200,000 a car?
No,
okay,
not
so,
you.
So what I'm saying is...
not
is,
you, Sam.
okay. What I'm saying is that it's possible, but it's too expensive to do right now. You know,
no, it's too expensive because there would be too many attacks from companies who benefit from oil. You know, I mean, from oil usage and so on.
So yeah, you think that they control the government and the country and everything?
It all works together. The government, the oil companies, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, so the government and the oil companies are together? They're in on it?
Come on, yes.
Okay. Sounds like conspiracy to me.
It is a conspiracy, and it's there.
You have facts for that?
Look at fucking Dick Cheney. Look at Bush.
Yeah.
Bush is directly linked to
all
the
right,
oil
refineries. So we'll see after
refineries.
He's gone. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What?
I mean, his father was all involved, and so is Bush.
Okay.
Look at Dick Cheney.
But maybe when they're gone, then there won't be that...
I don't think so.
That connection between government
and
oil.
What, do you think Bush is going to let go of his oil? I don't think
but,
so.
But Bush is not going to have any power once he's gone.
It doesn't matter. It's the family.
Okay.
And he's still going to be in government.
Yeah. So we have a new show coming up tonight. It's called Blackwood. And that's with a married couple. Their names are Jason and Amon, and they have a friend called Akeem, and they're going to do a pretty interesting show, I think. I'm eager to listen to it and see what it's about. So if you guys are around your computer at 6 o'clock Pacific, please try to catch that. And there was something else I wanted to say. I can't remember. But we're adding more shows. Of course, we're going to have the new show, Curvy Fashionista, on Monday. And looking forward to that. And we've got a lot of shows. Just check out the website, which I'm sure you already do. I wanted to give you a few facts, Manu, about our website and our radio station. In February, our first month, we received 12,000 visits to the website. March, we got over 20,000. So we basically doubled the traffic, and we're getting 20,000 visits a month to this site without any promotion at all. So you can imagine what's going to happen in a year, 2 years, 3 years. This station is going to be it. And I think people are recognizing this, and they're coming on board. We're going to have two guests today. One is going to be a call-in, and then one guest is going to be here. So it should be an exciting show today.
Are they together?
No, not together. Two separate guests. And, yeah, you see, I'm starting to book more and more into one show.
We had none yesterday and now two today.
Exactly.
On two completely.
That's how it works.
So how is that going to work? Are they going to come in at the same time?
No, not at the same time. One's going to call from the East Coast. Uh-huh. And then later, our guest is going to be in the studio.
Okay.
Yeah. So I want to set a couple of things straight. Greg called into Johnny Dam's show yesterday and said that I smoke on every break that we take. And I told him, I said, that is bullshit. I don't smoke for 2 hours. Sometimes I'll go and have one in the middle of the show. But I don't think I'm that desperate that I can't wait 2 hours, you know.
But I can see him pining.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, so I demand a retraction. So yesterday, everybody was late to work and to the station, so we had shows starting late, and we're not going to mention any names, but it doesn't matter. You know, we do what we want here, and we say what we want, and that's the situation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, did you know, all right, so here's some other infantry. Have you ever heard of pork, you know, like the pig pork book? And what that means is Congress, right, has all these different spending areas and so on. They give money to this place, this money to this place, and so on,
right?
For mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
Right.
And so this year they finally came out, and the Congress has given $17.2 billion in pork spending. They call it pork spending. I'm not quite sure why, you know, why they call it pork. Probably because it's a whole bunch of bullshit and it shouldn't be, you know, spent like that. But yeah. Basically what it's based on is just ludicrous giving out of money on stuff mm-hmm. that should be deserving to go to the schools, etc., and so on.
Yeah.
So that was something that I had listened to last night, and I'm just looking in for some information. The number one spending, believe it or not, in the budget mm-hmm. of 2007 mm-hmm. was towards wine.
Oh yeah.
Like research, believe it or not, uh-huh. the research in making wine.
Mm-hmm.
The majority
of them. So
they spent
$1.something billion on that?
They spent something ridiculous about it, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the 2008, $7.5 million was spent on grape and wine research.
Mm-hmm.
And then $460,000 mm-hmm. was spent on hops.
Okay.
Research.
So this is what the government is doing.
This is what the government.
Or are they paying to researchers to do that? Yeah.
They're paying the researchers to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And okay. Now check this out. $3 million was spent towards the National Wild Turkey Federation. Can you freaking believe that? Can you, I mean, like, seriously,
yeah.
That much money towards the dumbest animal on the planet?
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yeah. So that we can fucking eat them every year? Can you believe that?
Well, I guess you got to research turkeys. I don't know what to tell you. But no, you mentioned wild turkeys. I mean, these are not the ones we eat. Those are in the wild, right?
Doesn't really matter, yeah. The turkeys.
No, I'm saying that they're even... It's even less interesting to know about those. But
yeah, I know,
you know,
I know.
It's like wildlife, you know. Maybe, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that, yeah. That was in... The wild turkeys are in South Carolina, by the way. This is like, what? I mean, so you're trying to wonder, you're then trying to wonder, like, where's all this money? $17.2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would think that maybe the $3 million perhaps could have gone to the schooling or something like that to help
with
that.
Well, it could, yeah. But, you know, you have lobbyists that spend a lot of money trying to get the government to spend money for their causes.
Right.
So that's what happens.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Who cares about the government, right? Anything about the government is boring. Let me ask you this now. Meryl was here yesterday on her show, Meryl Wood.
Uh-huh.
And I complimented her. I said, you look great today, you know, all makeup and everything. And so she took that as offensive. Would that be offensive? I mean, I've said that to you and you took it as a compliment. Right? I mean, I just made a statement that she looked good and that she had makeup on. I did not, like, connect the two. I didn't tell her, yeah, you look great today because you put makeup on and you look like shit other days. That's not what I was saying. So she took issue with that, you know, and I don't know why she got on my case about it. But, yeah, maybe I need to start learning not to compliment people, you know.
Well, you notice I don't have any makeup on today.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like you
but
have to have
but
it.
I did my hair. Said,
you did your hair, Manu.
I know. I had to.
Yeah. The way your shirt looks today, I just feel like slipping my hand in there. But you're revealing just enough, you know.
All right.
Good thing we're far across the table.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true. Anyways.
Men are so fucking crude.
Listen, I know. Last night I came across the most amazing thing, because I remember yesterday you were talking about those two soldiers that came back from Iraq and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I suppose for a lot of people, you know, we only get little dibbles and dabbles of what's going on over there, but we really don't see the real picture of what's going on the point of a soldier's point of view.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So anyways, I came across this site, you know, PBS. I'm sure everyone is aware of that. So if you go to PBS, the website, mm-hmm. they have their main story is about a certain group of soldiers, and they call themselves, well, in the story, they've called themselves the Bad Voodoos,
mm-hmm.
the Bad Voodoos Platoon.
Right.
And basically these guys have been fully equipped with cameras and audio and so on through Frontline, via mm-hmm. Frontline. And there's constant feed every single day about what they are going through every single day, what their missions are. And it gives it a really awesome, awesome insight about each individual,
mm-hmm.
And the missions that they're going on, how they feel about it. And basically, it really goes through each person's emotional, you know, like havoc that this whole thing is you know, mm-hmm. is creating
right.
on themselves.
They're showing like the human side of war.
They really are. Right. They really are. And the good thing about it, I mean, it's so amazing. I mean, it really is. And basically, it's allowing you to actually connect with them via email, mm-hmm. instant email,
right.
and give them support and also get information from them. So this is going to be a continual feed mm-hmm. via PBS and Frontline about, you know, the bad voodoo's war.
Yeah.
So this is the first time that we're going to be allowed to actually directly interact with a platoon that is going on missions and so on. So I watched a few of them, you know, a few of the clips last night.
Right.
And you could really tell, you know, how much these guys are having to go through emotionally, physically, mentally, and so on. And their questions about what the fuck are they there for?
Hmm.
Now, the one thing that was brought to my attention, have you heard of KBR?
No.
Okay, KBR is a privatized organization. Halliburton, correct?
Right.
Okay, KBR is another privatized corporation that's over there in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bad Voodoo platoon were going on a mission to take these semis and so on through, you know, up roads. They aren't given any information what's in those semis or anything like that. What's the real reason and so on? And they go on a convoy.
Mm-hmm.
They get hit by an IED.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was in the beginning of the day.
Which is what? An IED?
IED? Oh, that is basically a missile.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or an implanted mine.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That when you go over it, it trips it and blows up the
right.
vehicle.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, they hit an IED and so of course the reports go through, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The information, the orders that they were given, right, in the middle of the bloody desert of Iraq,
mm-hmm.
leaving yourself even more vulnerable to further attacks and et cetera, you know what I mean, that kind of stuff.
Right.
They're told that okay, you can't do anything. You have to wait until KBR gets mm-hmm. out there so that they could change the freaking tires and so on the vehicle that was blown up. Now, fortunately, the vehicle wasn't blown up too, you know what I mean? Like, there were no injuries reported and so on. It was basically both the back tires and everything mm-hmm. like that had to be replaced.
Wow.
I mean, they were very, very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But despite the incidents, right, They were ordered that they had to wait for KBR. They waited for KBR over 8 hours in the middle of the desert, making themselves fully vulnerable. It wasn't until another convoy came through that they all, you know, came in and helped and repaired the vehicle. Took mm-hmm. them another so many hours to get the vehicle prepared enough so they can continue to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Did KBR turn up? No,
mm-hmm.
not at all.
Yeah.
Now, what KBR is this is this privatized organization along with Halliburton that when things like this go wrong, it's KBR that has to be sent out because they're the ones being paid the big bills to go and change a fucking tire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's also Halliburton or KBR that gets sent out, right, to do the laundry of the soldiers. The soldiers over in Iraq aren't allowed to do their own laundry. They have to take them to where Halliburton and KBR have their organizations, their privatized laundromats and so on, and they have to pay Halliburton or KBR money to do their laundry.
Yeah, well, I mean, would you want soldiers doing the laundry when they're there trying to fight?
That's not...
It's not like you're sitting in your base back home.
Yes, you are. No. They have these specialized camps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're out in the field, you're mm-hmm. not changing. You're not having any laundry.
Right.
But when you are back on base,
mm-hmm.
it's your own responsibility to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it doesn't make sense to me, but
well, of
okay.
course.
You know, I mean, the thing is that the soldiers have enough shit to do as it is. To start having them do laundry and
they ain't
fold
doing
the
anything.
What?
They're not doing even with communications. It's not the soldiers that are doing it. It's KBR.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In repairs of certain things. We are trained to do these things. Mm-hmm. We are trained to fix our own vehicles. Mm-hmm. We are trained to service our own vehicles. We are trained to fix our own electronics. We have all the resources and knowledge. That's our training. Mm-hmm. I know this because I was in the military.
Yeah, but you were in a different military.
It doesn't matter. We're the military. The Marines, Army, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We're the same. Trained to be the same.
The American Army is trained the same as the Australian Army.
Well, of course, we all have the same, yes. Mm-hmm. We don't have privatized organizations here mm-hmm. On the military bases to fix our shit, mm-hmm. right? When we're here on our bases, mm-hmm. we repair our own vehicles, we service
okay,
our own,
but,
et cetera,
okay,
and so
I'm not
on.
Gonna argue about
but
it.
Over
okay,
in
whatever.
Iraq, yeah. to make money mm-hmm. for the government, I mean, look at Dick Cheney. He's like mm-hmm. the big CEO of Halliburton. Mm-hmm. He's making bank right now right. because of privatized organizations.
Okay. All right. Okay. I take note.
These guys mm-hmm. are actually getting everything exposed. Now, and you can also find all this information on YouTube, and you if you download Iraq for Sale, that gives you the complete insight of how Halliburton and how KBR actually operates in Iraq, and I bet you any money, all of you will be absolutely shocked and appalled in how this is being run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Iraq mm-hmm. for Sale, and I strongly suggest that people watch this.
Sounds good. So let me ask you this: if a man wants to die because he's suffering from a terminal illness and he's in pain or, you know, not happy with his life anymore.
We've discussed this before.
Should he be allowed to die?
And we've discussed this before, so mm-hmm. I say yes.
Okay.
I mean, I've watched my own friend right. just in so much agony and pain. And she so wanted, like, I wish we were allowed to, you know, that we were allowed to say, I just want to die. Just
right.
let me die.
Yeah.
Instead of going through all this.
But
we've had discussions about this before.
Yeah, but the thing is that maybe some people haven't heard. But the point is that, you know, if you have somebody else assist you in dying, then for them, from their perspective, it's murder. You know.
No, it's not. So, I don't think it would be if it's an agreed. I mean, it's not going to be any just Joe Blow that's going to be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be someone who is very aware and is going through this whole emotion, this whole pain and everything like that with you.
I don't think
so. It's people
that assist, but, you know, obviously it's not
legal.
Well,
obviously assist, but yeah. we're talking about, it's not just this person making a decision.
Right.
You know, I mean, we've got family as well.
But what I'm saying is, who gives people the authority to decide another person's life? You know what I'm saying? And this is not a person that committed the crime or anything. Yes,
no.
He wants to die. But the thing is, I think there's like a human law sort of, you know, that says you don't kill other people. It doesn't matter what it is. I think when people are doing this, they're looking for sort of like to blame their death on someone else because they don't want to have to deal with the consequences. Because a lot of people believe that suicide is a sin, you know. And so therefore, if somebody else does it, then it's not suicide. You know, that's how I think some people are viewing this. Now,
at the same token,
having said that, I don't know what it's like. I know that if I really wanted to die, I'd just kill myself. I mean, why do I need somebody else to help me?
But you're healthy. We're talking about someone who is terminally ill.
Okay, so if he's terminally ill, he can kill himself.
And is suffering.
Right, but he can kill himself, right?
Some people can't.
Okay.
Some people can't.
Right.
Just like an animal,
mm-hmm.
right? You already know what that's like. You had an animal that you had to euthanize, right?
Right.
Because you saw the pain and suffering. Now, check this out.
Mm-hmm.
That animal cannot communicate to you to exactly tell you what it's feeling or how much pain
Manu,
it's in.
That's
and
animals.
So on.
I'm talking about human beings. You know? I mean, the thing is this, is that you can't condone government. You can't have a government that condones death. You know, that, you know, it's just you don't do it, you know. I mean, that's why even capital punishment, it's not that widespread. We don't kill that many people that commit murders and,
yeah,
and sort of, you know. But the point is that I think that, you know, if someone wants to die, kill yourself. You know, and live with it. You don't have to wait for other people to do
this
for
you. Well, I'm sure if this comes through even, you know, stronger, I'm sure there's going to be a system in place where there's going to be a lot of discussion where you have to go through a psychiatrist, you know, talk with a psychiatrist, talk with a pain management person, talk with specialists, you know, everything that you need to do to discuss this matter with the patient. Like, if they are the ones wanting to die because of their terminal illness and how much pain that they're suffering and so on, allow them to discuss this with specialists.
Mental pain? What if you're like really depressed, you've got a mental illness and you're really, really hurting? Should you be...
That's different. We're talking about terminal illness.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you were just discussing?
Yes, okay.
All right. When you are mentally...
We're talking about somebody that doesn't want to live anymore. Okay, regardless of whether you have terminal illness or something, you know, it's not up to people to decide when you die.
No, look, Sam, you contradicted something.
Okay.
Because when you brought up the subject, mm-hmm. you said a man who's terminally ill,
right,
and is destined to die and in a lot of pain,
right,
should he be allowed, you know, to die?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
No, but what I'm saying is I'm not contradicting myself. What I'm saying to you is some people with mental illness can be going through just as much pain as he is.
Why do you think we have psychologists and psychiatrists? That person, of course, is not going to be euthanized. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to be insane. Come on. There is. That person can be healed. That person can have a life.
What if they can't?
We're talking about a person that can't have a life.
Yeah.
Mm. My friend, for instance, she suffered like months, about 8 months in just freaking pain. I saw her mm-hmm. just wither away. I've never seen anything like it. She mm-hmm. turned into literally a raw skeleton in front of my eyes. Mm-hmm. And they mutilated her body.
Yeah.
And she was riddled. You could tell that she was in pain.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to change the topic. I think our guest's calling in. So, good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Manu.
Hi, this is Beth Hammond.
Oh, Beth, how are you?
Hello?
Can you hear me, Beth?
I can hear you, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, you're calling from where?
I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston. You see, Manu, we have even listeners in Boston. What do you think of that? So, tell us a little bit about what you do. What happened?
I'm a full-time professional singer and entertainer. That is what I do.
Okay.
I model and I act as well, but my day job is actually a professional singer.
Okay. Are you calling from a cell phone? Because you keep breaking up all the time.
Duh.
Yeah.
I am. Would you like me to call from the landline?
If you can, we'd greatly appreciate it, Beth.
Sure. I'll do that right now.
Great. Thanks. All right. So she's going to call right back.
Well, she's one lady that has a landline. You have to acknowledge, Sam, that a lot of people don't have landlines anymore. I haven't had a landline in years.
Yeah.
In several years.
But those cell phones, man, they're not good for the radio, you know? It's like you can't hear
but
shit.
What you can't, you're like, sorry, you can't call because you don't have a phone, landline?
Is that what I said to her?
No.
Okay, so what I'm saying is if we can have a better
line. But what happens if she didn't have a landline?
Then we just talk the way we did. And not hear half of the shit she's saying.
Which you would have went wild in. I mean, seriously, that's the fact. People do not use landlines anymore.
Yeah. Well, some people do, I guess.
Or you could ask them
you
to
like
download.
You like to make blanket fucking statements, you know?
So ask them to download Skype. That's a pretty awesome connection.
Yeah. Except when I call here, I call with a wireless computer, and it's just as bad.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it wouldn't have been.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Oh, that's so much better. It sounds like
good,
you're
I'm
here
glad.
Now. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. So, So you're a singer, you're a model. What takes up most of your time? What do you like to do better, modeling or singing?
I love singing.
Do you? Do you write your own music?
Yeah, I love it. I do, actually. I had a development deal for about 3 years. And I try to get a record deal and a blues, like blues, rock, pop.
Yeah.
That's such extended since last year.
Yeah.
And I've been singing with an 80s cover band for about a year and a half. Very popular.
Cool. So you guys do song covers and stuff from the 80s, you say?
Yes, we do 80s covers. We do folk costume as well.
Oh, wow. So, and you appear where? In the Boston area? Do you go anywhere else?
We travel from Maine to about Rhode Island. So it's all of New England.
Oh, nice.
We play mostly Boston.
And what kind of songs do you play?
We play anything from the AC/DC to the Go-Go's. We play everything. Guns N' Roses, Journey. We play a little bit of everything.
Cool, cool. And do you have a website that people can visit?
And, we do have a website. It's called fasttimes.biz. So www.fasttimes.biz. It's just like Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Right. And Fast Times dot what?
Fast Times dot biz.
Oh, biz. Like biz. Okay. That's
right. B-I-Z.
Yeah, right. Okay, so, we're going to go there and check. Yeah, you guys did the logo like Fast Times in Richmond High. That's pretty
That's
cool.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know that
the... Actually, we have some new pictures coming out. They should be out within the next few days. If you really want to check out tons and tons of pictures, you should go to MySpace, which is myspace.com/fasttimesmusic.
Oh, wow.
There's like massive hundreds of pictures. It's a really cool site.
Yeah, and you guys play in clubs and stuff?
We play big clubs. Usually we play for like 300 to 500 people on average.
Nice. But you don't play any original music except your own, right?
Not anymore. Not this year.
Yeah. Do you sing solo too, or just with the band?
Just with the band. I really don't have time for anything else. That's my day job. Like I make probably an average living for my age, maybe above average.
Nice.
I'm doing that just on the weekend, so.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So, and then I saw you modeling pictures, and you look pretty hot.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how long have you done modeling?
I've been modeling for about 3 years now.
Okay. And
I just set into it full force. I signed with Model Club, which is an agency in Boston, and I'm with Boss Thinking as well.
Oh, and what kind of modeling do you do? Is it clothes?
I head more toward fashion modeling.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking into such things as Playboy and stuff like that, but I'm not quite ready for that yet.
Oh, you're thinking of doing Playboy, actually?
I'm thinking of doing it, but I'm not sure.
Wow. Well, you sure have the body for it, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I know. I don't know. It's one of those things, you know. It affects your whole life, so I just want to be sure.
Yeah. Now, tell me something. Now, I mean, I'm really, like, curious, like, what it's like to be a model. I mean, do you find that people, the casting couch type of a thing. I mean, do you run into stuff like that at all?
Not anymore, because I have been in the entertainment business for 5 years.
Right.
When I first started, when I was doing my singing and I was promoting my CD, I had 4 different debts, and I used to go to New York 3 days out of the week. And in New York, it's vicious. It's really hard. I think when 9/11 hit, you know, all kind of the more upper successful people kind of left, and they all went to California, where you guys are.
Yeah.
And in New York, it's really cutthroat, and you have to kind of, when you come from, I kind of came from nothing, and I built my way up all on my own. When I did my first CD, I traveled to Boston, and then I ended up at a studio, like, right near my, because I couldn't travel back and forth, and it was crazy. So I kind of did all those things myself and worked to support all those things myself. And when you do that, and you don't really have, like, I think a lot of the entertainment world nowadays, the celebrities are very young. Well, most of them, I would say. They're, you know, the daughters and sons of celebrity or whatever.
Yeah.
They have a lot of it from their parents, and their parents are their managers. Well, I didn't have that. So when you have that, you kind of have that protection. And in my generation, which I think is the most celebrities, especially from New England and such,
you don't have that protection, and you have to go around and figure out who's full of shit, excuse me, and who's not. So who's full of baloney and who's not full of baloney? I don't know if I can swear on your radio station.
Not only can you swear, you can say the dirtiest words you want.
Really? Excellent. Sure. This is my kind of radio station.
I'm sure if you came out to L.A., you would definitely, you do have to siphon through all the crap here, who's real, who's not. And there's a lot of phony people out here versus the real people. And unfortunately, the real ones, the ones that you can rely on, or the people who are managers and the people who are real actors and et cetera, they're all in hiding, you know what I mean? Because they don't get involved. If you, they say, if you come out to L.A., the first thing you must do is always go out and promote yourself and da-da-da. And what that leads to is you're actually meeting all the bullshit of Hollywood versus
Well, that's what happens here.
Yeah.
I mean, you, especially when you're me,
yeah,
like bombshell kind of girl, who I grew up in New Hampshire, so I can be a little naive sometimes. Not so much anymore, but I used to be. You know, people really prey on that, prey on your insecurities, and they prey on your kindness and your trust. And they, you know, they want the same thing that you do sometimes. And the amazing thing, which I'm sure that you've incurred this, is that some of them just want to hear themselves talk.
Yeah.
Some of them really have no intention or other ideas or motivations than just really, they just really want to talk to you and spew crap.
Oh, yeah. And they give
it really has nothing to do with any motivation whatsoever.
No. And they give you a whole bunch of stories and promises and, oh, my God, you're the next big, I'll make you the next big thing, blah, 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 and then... I mean, seriously, I'm old enough to see through all that. I just, stare at him and like, mate.
It's funny because one time I was in New York, I was at a bar, and I was at some girls that we were all doing a promo for Parco PI, which is a show on Court TV that I was on.
Right.
And the girl at the bar, she's me 2 years ago. She's got her CD in her purse, and she's very innocent, very cute, and she's talking to this Guido guy, you know, and he's going on and on. You know, he's got a record studio, and he knows this person, and he knows
this
that person. He's going to help her out. She's all excited, and I'm just looking at her, and I'm like, God, I was so that girl. And all you want to do is just shake them.
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
No, you're right. As a matter of fact, I'm encountering that with someone that I know here who's just gotten here for the biz and so on, and I see exactly the same thing, the exact same thing. And I feel like slapping around, like, come on, are you serious?
Yeah.
You can't be. I mean, you can't be this stupid. Fortunately,
yeah, they just have to realize for yourself it's part of growing up.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
No stability. You don't know any better.
How long have you been performing for?
How long have I been what?
Performing.
I've been performing since I was fifth grade.
Wow.
But I never started seriously doing it until I was in college. I was in my first year of college. And I was going, no idea what I wanted to do with my life.
Right.
My band teacher said to me, I used to go in for piano lessons.
Piano. Okay, so you can play piano.
Said,
that's
you're
awesome.
You're great, or you should really go make a demo. And I said, okay. All right, sure. So I went and made a demo, and it was very successful, the first demo that I made. And I was traveling around, and I was going back and forth to New York, and I was talking to my teacher, and he was like, you know, you should really try this thing. And I was like, it was just too much. I was trying to go to school, and I was
warm,
and I have a six-year-old daughter, and at the time she was only little. She was like two.
Right.
You have a six-year-old daughter?
You
have a six-year-old daughter, and you maintain your body like that? That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I work out about 6 days a week.
Wow. Yeah, you see, a lot of women should take a lesson from you, you know, because, but I guess it's in the genes also, right? I mean, if you,
you know, I could be a big fat pig right now if I wanted to be.
Really?
Yeah, I think I have that potential, and I think it's how what you choose to do with your life. I mean, I could, you know, I could be a big drinker, or I could sit on the couch and eat potato chips every night and give life, but I choose not to, and I've seen a lot of people who are, you know, I'm 26, and I've seen people who are younger than me who've done that.
Wow.
It's a matter of motivation.
Yeah.
You know, and I could have stayed in college, and done what I was supposed to do, but instead I said, well, you know what, I'm going to try this thing. I'm going to leave college, and if in a year I'm now a step closer to getting a record deal, I'll go back to college. And within the year, I had a development deal. And since then, it's just been one thing after the other. I was I taught as a vocal coach, certified, and then I met up with this band.
Oh.
And I've been with this band ever since, and it's so popular, and I make so much money that it's just, there's no
way. Really?
I and I love it. It's
nice.
To be in front of 500 people and have them absolutely worship you, you know, and just be singing every note and be in it with you is the most amazing and has made all those struggles and all that clawing, you know, absolutely worth it.
Last
Saturday was the best show I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
The 80s will never die.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Do you, I guess singing is probably more your passion because you actually get to be creative and so forth, which brings out more of what you have inside as opposed to the modeling where it's pretty much the outside. Would you agree with that?
Not necessarily.
No.
I think that performing is more of my passion. When I was writing songs a lot and when I was producing them, you know, your own songs is very much like releasing your diary into the world. It's very critical, and it made me very insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never been with a cover band before. I'd always sang with original bands, excuse me.
Oh.
And singing with a cover band and performing in a role, which is what you do when you act, and you become a role.
Mm-hmm.
They dress you up in, you know, the other day I did a Rolls Royce shoe with double eyelashes, and it was from the 1960s, and I had bouffant hair. I play a role.
Yeah.
And when I get on stage dressed in these ridiculous, which if you go on the website, you'll see some of the costumes. I mean, I have silver pants, you know, the jewel bras and such. When I go on stage in this huge, massive diva hair, and, you know, these crazy pants and costumes, I'm somebody else. And it's really realized that that's all about performing. And I love all of it. I guess I do. I love being in front of a live audience. So we'll put it at that.
Yeah.
When people are with you, when they're right there in the moment and the energy is like a wave, it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, though. I mean, because I find this fascinating. I mean, you are building yourself a career and everything, and yet you are considering posing in Playboy. Now, let me ask you this. What is the motivation behind that? Because I always wondered, you know, what makes a woman want to pose in Playboy? Because, you know, obviously, like you said, it's a life-changing thing. You know, but, you know, you obviously already get exposure. People see you, you know, modeling and so forth. So what makes you want to go the next step and actually, you know, reveal yourself?
You know, they say Playboy makes revives careers. That's what they say.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for Hugh Hefner and the girls. I think they're awesome. It's really, really hard to be the kind of girl that we are. I would like to include myself in Playboy Girls. It's, you know, people look at you like you're dumb anyway because you're a girl and because you're beautiful. And I think that you have to get yourself out there and advertise yourself. It is putting a line, I have to say. A friend of mine brought Playboy to lunch, and we were talking about it the other day because I'm very close to being in Playboy, and we were talking about it, and the more I look at it, the more scary. It's kind of like, wow, that's really naked.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, I mean, the whole world is going to see your most intimate parts, you know.
But I think.
What do you think about Playboy? I know your name. What's your name?
It's Manu. This is the Sam and Manu show. Obviously, maybe just the Sam. But anyways, no, I like the Playboy. I like what they do and how they present everything. I personally don't think that Playboy is tacky, unlike other magazines like Hustler, et cetera. You know what I mean? Those magazines exploit you, but I don't think Playboy has gone that far. I think they maintain their tastefulness because you're not really sitting there with your legs spread and everything all exposed or anything like that.
Tasteful.
I mean, my gosh, I mean, we've got people like Christina Aguilera posing in there. We had people like Vanessa Williams pose in there. I think it's beyond porno or giving you a bad name. I really don't think that it would be anything that you could not live with or anything that you would think it would be a bad decision, even for yourself or for your daughter.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's my only worry. My only worry is because I am kind of a celebrity here, I worry that, you know, somebody's going to come up to my daughter in 5 years and, you know, at school and here, you know, I see your mom naked or, or you know, somebody's going to come up on stage and, hey, sign your boobs for me, you know?
No, but I don't think that would actually happen with Playboy. I can imagine that happening with Hustler, et cetera, but... You know, you don't see that happening with Playboy. I think Playboy has really made themselves a name with the show and everything like that. It doesn't come across as being tacky at all.
Yeah.
They're very mainstream, too. Look at Madonna. She was just named number one most income for singers in the world.
Yeah,
she was. Forbes list now. And Madonna did it. I mean, Madonna was posing nude when she was, like, long as ever famous.
That was
her thing.
Even
I mean, she had a smoking ridiculous and still does. I just saw her concert last year and she still looks unbelievable.
Yeah,
she's another one that works out 7 days a week.
She's amazing.
Yeah. She just revealed to the rest of the world, actually, I had this article here that her sex with Guy is incredible. Like, do we really need to know this? I mean, does anybody really
fucking care?
I need
to know. I would love to have her torture chamber. With the rubber walls and the chain and all that. Like, to be Madonna is like, I cry.
Yeah. Well, you could be, you know, but you gotta remember that she didn't she do nudity after she became famous?
She did nudity. I mean,
before.
I don't know if you've ever seen her sex book.
I was talking about this
with somebody. Have you ever seen
That's like 20 years ago or something.
With the metal covers?
Yes.
Oh, but it's very controversial.
I know.
My producers actually bought it for me. It was like hundreds of dollars, ridiculous. But if you've seen it, the art in it, it is amazing, but it's also very controversial.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. And I think I bring, like, when I had my development deal and then when I was releasing my own albums, I was over in Western Mass. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing bad against Western Mass. I loved it over there. I lived there for a few years. It's very crunchy and homeopathic and not, like, you guys, you know, you're in LA. It's, you know, it's very much entertainment. And there it's not. And they were kind of like, who the hell is this girl?
Yeah.
So who does she think she is? And now, you know, I get on stage with silver pants. And the girls are at the front of the stage, and they love me.
Yeah.
You know, they love me.
You know what? I think if you did end up going into Playboy, I think it would catapult you into areas that you could not possibly imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And they say that, you know, the things people tell you not to do are the things you should do.
Yeah. There you go.
She said everything anybody ever heard of that not to do, she said, catapulted her career.
There you go, because you got to stand out, you know. And usually in business it's the same thing, you know. If everybody goes, oh yeah, great idea, it's probably not, you know, so because everybody else is doing it. So you want to do something unique where and often I think the biggest successes is by people that everybody told them no, and they went through with it anyway, you know. So
that's how you stand out.
But you know,
I've got 2,000 no's.
Yeah.
In my life.
You know that,
And I've gone from doing stuff to doing nothing. And I actually took a break from modeling last year because I got wicked burnt out and on the sleaze balls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, trying to promote my original thing. So, I understand that.
Yeah. Now, you know, I mean, the thing is this, look, I mean, for me, there's a very definite line between nudity and sex, you know, or porn, if you want to call it.
And
you see, Playboy is nudity. It's not about sex, really. It's about the human body, you know. And
you know, but as women, we respect our bodies. And in such an age where sex is so mainstream, I'm so surprised that we're not teaching our children to protect themselves more, like how oral sex is like fine now and regular sex is, you know, whatever. But it's so it's so out there, and I just think that we need to respect ourselves a little bit more. And I really do respect my body, and I've demanded respect from so many people in my life and past hurdles that's where the controversy is for me. I'm a very open person. I'm very risky. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't care, you know, when it comes down to what people really think of me. It's more of my own self-dignity. And what am I really willing to sell out on to make my dreams come? And at this point, I think I'm getting where it's, you know what, I'm willing to just
throw in the chips. I come across those exact same questions for myself as well. I really, really do. I really
That's
do.
Interesting.
I feel that.
So, you know, one thing I'm curious about is what is it like, Beth, to go through life being very beautiful? I mean, what does it open doors for you? Do men melt in front of you? What exactly happens?
I think you tend to get used a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Especially when you don't from a wonderful family or a secure family. I don't want to say rich, but secure family.
Right.
I think people like Miley Cyrus, who Mike is absolutely in love with, she has a great stability and a great foundation, and she is very beautiful. She's right. not at the point where she's, you know, a bombshell yet.
Right.
But I think that when you come from nowhere and you don't have support, people tend to take advantage of that, and I think that's what happens most of the time. You have to be very, very strong, and I think that's where Imagine right. She was a very strong personality and had grown up in a semi-stable household, so she didn't have a lot of the stuff, but I didn't, so it was really hard.
Yeah. Now you're saying
people do take advantage of that.
Yeah, so you're saying people take advantage of that. Do you feel that you take advantage of your looks as well sometimes to get what you want?
I think I did learn that, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. So obviously there are things that you can do that that other people can't. You know, I mean, this opens doors for you, I would imagine.
Well, honestly, I'm not the greatest singer. I mean, I'm not Whitney Houston. I'm not even close. I've worked really hard to singer that I am. I can sing all the high notes in Journey. I can sing really great now. But I haven't always been the greatest singer.
Neither
and
was Madonna.
I looked. My looks only got me to the table. But yeah. Your looks only get you to the table. That's it. We are, you know, we are run by money. This is a money's world. You know, it's a material world.
Right.
Yeah.
And that only gets you to the table.
You know, Madonna wasn't much of a singer either, and she ended up, when she did start getting recognized, she had to put herself through a lot of voice coaching and everything, even to this day.
She had a lot of singing coaching.
She admits that she wasn't a great singer at all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Beth, I wish you'd sent us some music of you singing before. But
you know, I tried to send you guys some music, and it acted back at me.
Oh, well, try.
And if you go online and you just Google my name, massive amount of things will come up, so you may find some.
Yeah, but I like the link that you sent me on that modeling site and stuff. And but you know what? The thing is that I would like to have. I mean, if you can email me like a song, because you know you may have tried to email it from inside Craigslist and it won't let you do that. But if you just email me from your own address. To my address, to the one you have, it'll work just fine. Because I'd love to play,
okay.
I'd love to play some of your music on here, so we can hear what you say.
That would be great. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Also, I am opening BethHammond.com.
Okay.
So it's BethHammond.com in the next few weeks. I had to sue somebody for it. I want to talk about people taking advantage of you.
Really?
So it took me about 4 years now to get it, but I finally got it.
Really?
I had BethHammond.net.
Yeah.
For 5 years.
And what happens, like, I mean, how would you necessarily get it? I mean, what if there's another person named Beth Hammond?
There's no one else.
Oh, come on. I'm already
There's
Googling
no
you.
There's no one else. What are you talking about?
I'm Googling
Stop
you. Me. Yeah, I'm Googling you, and I'm finding all kinds of women with criminal past and that sort of thing.
Oh, my God, no. Actually, there's a woman who's a psychic. That's the only one. Just look up Beth Hammond Music.
Okay, we'll search for that.
Beth Hammond Model or Beth Hammond Music. Yeah, there's a woman who's a psychic, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm Beth, I'm definitely going to print one of your pictures and hang it here on the wall because you're very beautiful.
I'll send you one. You guys, I'll email you, and you can email your address, and I will send you an autographed picture.
That's awesome. And thank you so much for calling. I mean, you really enlightened us because we like to know what's going on in people's careers when they, you know, when they try to make it and so forth. I mean, we're obviously in a town where everybody's an actor or an actress or a model. And it's refreshing to hear someone from the East Coast and get your point of view, you know.
Great.
So can we plan on seeing you on Playboy anytime soon then?
I'll let you know. I'm not
okay.
sure.
Yeah, let us know.
I'm going to ask Howard. I want to go on Howard Stern and ask him what he thinks.
Well, I think you're beautiful enough to go on there, but he'll make you do some crazy shit, you know, so you better be prepared.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm a little scared of Howard.
Yeah,
but, you know,
you don't
it's funny,
just
I get satellite radio, and I didn't use to like a little too much for me, but now I'm starting to like him.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he might make you smell Richard's ass or Sal's sack or
no,
something.
You know? I'm contemplating getting fake boobs. So I think that I want to go on and I'm going to like let him look and ask him if he thinks I should get them or not.
That
was going to be my thing.
Let me tell you something. I have not seen your boobs. I don't know really what you look like, but I'm here to tell you do not get fucking fake boobs, okay? You don't know how many men are turned off to that, including myself.
Yeah, I heard that was a lie. And I don't know if the women will agree with me on this one.
Look.
I heard that you guys tell us women with the natural boobs you don't like fake boobs when you actually do, and that you do like squeezing them and looking at them.
No, but the thing is this. You see, that's where you're wrong. It's not about big boobs. It's about boobs, period. I mean, a man sees a boob and that's it, you know. The thing is this, let me tell you, and this is not a lie, okay? I look at fake boobs and I totally get turned off because they look like either basketballs or something that they look out of place. They're too far from each other, they're too round, they're too perfect.
You know
what?
I don't know.
All I can tell you is I'll take an A size bra any day over, you know.
We're gonna have to put you to the test on that one.
You know what?
Well,
you know,
come
what?
Down here and see. God,
I was just going to say that because I have a couple of friends here who have had boob jobs, and lo and behold, you cannot tell that they have had a boob job because they were so magnificently done. They're like,
I have
oh
to get
well.
A good one. And, I do lots of bad ones.
And I actually was like, I gotta feel this, and so you feel them, and it's like feels like a real boob to me.
Yeah, don't change
wow.
because
cool.
once you ruin your natural tits, it's just never the same, you know.
So we gotta put Sam to the test. I bet you he won't
yes.
get.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait till the day comes when you boys can't tell.
Yeah. You see, look, like I have Manu here, okay, and I'm looking at her cleavage all day and all night. And if somebody came in here, yeah, well, so I am dying here, you know. But
Manu, you dirty girl, you.
But, you know, if someone walks in right now, I don't care how gorgeous, if she's got fake boobs, I'll feel Manu's up any day over those, okay?
The description of fake boobs are the ones that look like softballs, like, oh, gosh.
Not softballs, basketballs.
Basketballs. Like, what's the...
Oh, come on, no, they all look like that. Most
Tori,
of them, I mean,
Tori Spelling.
Yeah, you're right.
Tori Spelling is probably the worst example for fake boobs.
Yeah. Who is that?
Tori Spelling...
Yeah.
Remember when
she
had hers done?
She was huge when she was pregnant. You gotta give a break.
No, this was before she was pregnant.
Didn't know she had fake boobs before she was
pregnant. Oh yeah, she got her fake boobs and they were so bad. I mean, they were really bad.
See, you
really,
can really,
really
tell now because she's lost so much weight now after the baby. Like, you tend to freak out after you have a baby, especially when you're a celebrity.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, you can tell now, but I didn't know before.
Yeah, no, she had fake boobs like right after 90210, whatever that show was.
Yeah, I used to love that show.
And then I remember she didn't have boobs on the show, and then all of a sudden, next thing, it was really awful. It was like, oh my God, what happened to her tits? because it really looked like two suction cups on her chest because she's so skinny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did she grow up overnight?
I don't know. I think she might have had them redone.
Yeah.
I think she might have had them redone.
Well, Beth, we have to cut you short, unfortunately. But, I mean, you've been very enlightening, very compelling. And we thank you so much for calling in. Do send us our music and we'll play it on the air for sure. You know, it's just we have our next guest waiting and I don't want to keep him waiting any longer. So,
okay.
But yeah, I could talk to you about boobs and Playboy all day, obviously being a man or i.e. a dog, you know. So,
all right, well, we do keep wearing that cleavage.
Yeah.
Every day we come into work.
There you go. You see, that's what keeps her here.
See, he can't wait for summer to come around. I mean, real summer.
Yeah.
Okay, but
it's sunny here now. It's getting warmer, thank God.
Yeah, but now Manu is going to get to look at a looker here. We got a very handsome man in the studio.
Wow.
So Manu can't wait for the next interview. Beth, thank you so much.
I'm going to have to get to L.A. pretty soon.
There you go. You see, this is where all the action is. All the beautiful people move here, you know. So, you definitely should move here. And when you do, we'll give you a radio show, too. How is that?
Great. Well, Sam and Manu, thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, Beth.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Bye, Beth.
Take care.
It's a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, welcome our guest, and we'll be right back.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to the only radio that...
Hey, everybody. Harry Carey here. You know, two of my most favorite things in life besides the Cubs are Jews and Australians. And this BBS Talk Radio has them both on one show. Hey, this place is great. Okay, let's get back to California dreaming with my favorite Jew and Australian, Sam and Manu. Hey, Sam. Hey, Manu. Cubs with.
Okay, so much for Harry Carey. Let's just shut him up for once and for all. Okay, welcome back to the show, and we do have a guest, and your name is Mark Aguirre.
That's right.
Right? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for the invite.
Oh, my pleasure. We always have to, we like to have interesting people here, and you sound like you have something very interesting.
And a very good looking guy at that.
Very good looking guy. You see, she put makeup on while you were gone.
Yeah.
She never puts on makeup for me. But
hang on, wrong.
Oh, okay,
I've been
but today
very,
you didn't.
Very
okay.
good.
Right.
Now because I woke up really late. And
yeah.
I'm like, I ran out of time.
But that's okay. No, I mean, this is natural. You know, when you see somebody every day, you don't look too impressed that much. But, you know, you see new people and stuff.
No.
And, no, I mean, that's good, you know. We're going to have a match here before the show is over. But, Mark.
I need to come more often with these kind of compliments.
There you go. You see? You see? We make you feel good here.
I'm getting sweaty.
So tell us a little bit about why you're here and what is it that you do.
Well, I wanted to prove that people on the radio aren't unattractive. You obviously are very attractive for being
well,
on the radio.
Thank you.
So
yeah, thank you.
That's
wow.
my first compliment. Second compliment is look at this view. My Lord, you guys are spoiled rotten.
Yeah, isn't it something?
Oh, yeah. And then, isn't of course, I'm here to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
No. I mean, yeah, you know, we love the view. That's why we're here. That's why we took the station where
including
it is.
Including the smog that we get.
The smog and everything. Man. But yeah, it's fun to sit here and do radio, absolutely.
I could see myself doing this every day.
Could you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, you can become a host. You know, we can talk about it later.
We'll
you can
work
have
on
your
it.
own show.
What
yeah.
can we talk about, Manu? Talk about cleavage?
There you go. You see, that's all we do all day.
That's the other thing she did. She put on makeup, and I noticed she lowered the cleavage.
She lowered the cleavage.
Oh.
No, it's the core.
She actually raised it a little bit.
She raised it a little bit.
I did. I did raise it a little bit.
Yeah. No, she's very proper. You know, she's proper.
You made me feel very special. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So, Mark, you told us you wanted to come here because you have a very special website and a business.
Absolutely.
Tell us about it a little bit.
I have a website called Moshe.net. Moshe, M-O-S-H-E-E.
Oh, and it's pronounced Moshe. I thought it was Moshe. Okay.
Moshe. Yeah, okay. You know, it's not Moshe. I can tell you that right now. And it's one of those things I fell into that is nothing but entertaining people. And obviously, you know from experience what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's
be
what
like,
we do, right.
Keeping people happy.
Yeah.
So Moshe comes from the name, it was a term of endearment I used for my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, really?
I kid you not. Her name was Kelly, and Kelly was a really wonderful woman, and we were together for a bit of time, and I told her, whenever I start my own business, I'm going to call it Moshe, because that's what I used to call her.
Right.
And I was Mosher. She was Moshe.
Oh, the Moshe.
And I was Mosher.
I Moshe.
Yeah.
How cute.
I know, it's very cute. She used to call me Moshe, and I used to go, Moshe. So anyway, we started this... I started this name, Moshe, and it kind of branched off into these events,
right.
As you can see from the website
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I see that.
So what kind of events are those? Tell
well,
us a little bit.
They're a little variety. You know, like, for example, our last event was more for singles,
mm-hmm.
and I always have them at really nice venues, you know, sexy places like here in downtown Los Angeles, for one. We had one
actually,
at Elevate.
There's some really awesome areas down here, isn't it?
Absolutely yeah. gorgeous.
Did you go to Elevate?
That was my last party, in fact.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we had one at Elevate.
That's where I danced my ass off on Friday night.
Really? Is that a nice club there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Very
sexy.
You know
wow.
what? They let me in for free.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. Why would they do that?
Cleavage.
Oh, there you go. You see?
Actually, believe it or not, all yeah. I had was a singlet and my jeans on. And the reason why I just showed up because I was like, I was, you know, out a couple of drinks with, a couple of friends. And I turned out of the door, and they were actually turning people away. Sorry, you have to have a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I kind of heard it. I caught it right at the last minute, and then I looked over, and I saw a very beautiful woman with her clipboard and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, she had actually lifted her leg up and put it up on the ledge, and I couldn't help but stare at her legs.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, my God, that woman has some beautiful stockings. I said stockings. Can you believe it? I said stockings. And so at that time, the guy, you know, the main guy at the door, like, you know, what do they call them, promoters?
Sure.
He turned his head and saw her, and she did have beautiful stockings, beautiful legs, but I just said, oh my God, that girl has some beautiful stockings. Mm-hmm. And he let us right on in.
Just because you said that?
Because I swear it was just because of that.
Really?
Otherwise, he would have
maybe
turned it around.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
It's
that accent. I'd let you in anywhere with that accent.
Yeah. Well,
it's very, very becoming. It's very nice.
It hasn't really helped me, to be honest.
No, really. Yeah. Very becoming. You stand out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Absolutely.
But I think maybe he just smelled girl love there, and maybe that's why, you know. I mean, you're commenting about someone else's
probably.
Leg, you know.
Yeah.
So I figured
helps.
We'd get some action here. Yeah.
You know I'm still on the line, right?
So back to this thing. Okay, so that was like a singles gathering. Do you have different type of gatherings as well?
Yeah, in fact, the next one upcoming is on April 13th, and this one's going to be in Pasadena, so I try to do it at different locations.
Nice.
Right.
Have you ever been to Via Sorriso? Via Sorriso.
No.
It's
where
right on on Colorado Boulevard in Old Town.
Oh, in Pasadena? Yeah, what is that, a nightclub also?
It's kind of a really fancy restaurant, lounge, nightclub, you know, has an outdoor patio, really, really
nice.
Sexy. Mm-hmm. And that one's coming up on Sunday, April 13th, and that one's going to be more of a martini a party, a social mixer, young professional kind of thing.
Oh,
right,
nice.
Okay.
So,
not a singles, but
it won't be
young professional.
Well, you know, everybody that shows up is single, but you can't say the word singles because, you know, they're like, oh, no, I don't want to be affiliated with being a singles party. Oh, God forbid, right?
Yeah. Right.
So I call it the Young Professionals Social Mixer and Martini Party.
Nice.
A lot
that's
of words
a fancy
for a title.
Name, yeah. But it pretty much tells the story.
That's exactly what it is. You know, mingle, get to know each other, exchange business cards. We'll have some appetizers and drinks and, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Sounds great. And I bet a lot of people leave there together, huh? I mean, would you say a lot of people?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people meeting and stuff, obviously.
Absolutely.
That's what they come there for.
If you come with the right attitude.
Yeah.
You come with the right attitude, and sometimes you have to adjust those at the door. You know, like I remember one time there was a line of people – and I was greeting everybody because, you know, I just like to do that. And there's a couple of girls that were kind of frowning at the front. And I had to say, excuse me, ladies, I won't be able to let you in today. And they just looked at me like, what are you talking about?
I really?
Said, why not? I said, because you're not smiling big enough.
Really?
Oh,
good
they
for
just,
you,
and
man.
They just lit up right there. And I was
really?
Like, okay, now let's keep that attitude when you go in here. Because that's the thing, you know, if you're single, you're single for a reason.
Yeah, you don't need poses in there, you know. I mean, God, we have enough of those here, you know.
But it works.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, smile
wonderful.
More. That's what I told them.
Yeah.
So what would you say the age range is? Do you get all ages there? I mean,
I would say 30-ish.
30-ish.
Yeah, 25 to 45. So the average would be about 35.
So we do get older men there and women.
It's not young 22, 23, no. It's typically your
30. Those are the pictures you have here for the most part.
Well, depending on where we go. You know, some locations
exactly.
you'll have a little younger crowd, and some locations you have a little bit of older crowd. But
right.
I would say the 30 to 35 would be the majority of the folks there.
Nice.
I'm still above that.
Well, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
It just depends on the
good.
Location.
I mean, it beats like the bar scene, right? Because people know they're coming there for a reason, and it's more organized and more and cleaner than I think if you just go to a bar and pick up just about anyone.
Exactly. In fact, these singles parties that I threw, some of them are – have you ever heard of the term lock and key? Okay.
Yes,
well,
I have.
We've had lock and key parties, which are really, really fun. And those are to break the ice. So, obviously, the ladies get the little lockets
around
their
men,
neck.
And the men walk around with a key.
Really?
And
they find the right ones to open the key for. Wow.
So what is this? Like, can I open up your lock? See if I'm the right one?
I love
it's really actually fun.
It's very fun.
Cool.
And then, you know, the more locks you open, then the more tickets you win. And then the end of the night, we give away prizes and dinner certificates and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's really a way to just break the ice.
Yeah, what a great icebreaker. Yeah.
Because if you go to a typical happy hour, you know, you'll typically just hang out with your little group.
Exactly.
But this is an opportunity to talk to everybody in the happy hour party.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I noticed that. That's what happens is that you go to a bar or even you're in a restaurant or something and you see a pretty woman, but she's surrounded by friends and it's hard to approach her.
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So here it's sort of like I guess people realize that we don't want to stay in a group here.
Correct.
You know, we have to separate ourselves if we want to be accessible.
Absolutely.
That's cool. Now, how did you get into this?
Good question.
Oh, man, what a great question. Well, we've all been down the road where you're working in corporate America, you're working and struggling and hating every minute of it, you're wearing your suits and ties, and wondering, what am I doing with my life, right?
Yeah.
You've probably never been there, huh?
No, I have.
I've been there.
But let me tell you, we walk around here and all the people sitting in front of their computers like robots, we know exactly what you mean. Yes.
Go ahead. I was in a position where it just took its toll. Mm-hmm. It said, you know what, this is it. I've had enough of wanting to do this and expanding my wings. I've thought about it long enough. There is no better time to do this than now.
Right.
Of course, there's no better time to do anything, really.
Right.
So I decided I'm just going to do it. So I planned ahead, prepared for the worst-case scenario, the best I knew how.
But how did you get the idea? I mean, did you feel like you wanted something like this and it didn't exist?
Well, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do as far as the parties. I knew I wanted to be entertaining. I knew I wanted to help people, and I knew I had a lot of talent to help people, especially with the confidence coaching.
Right. Uh-huh.
The way I got into the party business was I had gone to a particular event, thought, this is really fun. I want to start throwing parties like this myself. So that's how I started it. So I just tried to figure out ways to get it moving in the direction of, you know, getting the website built and getting to know people like yourselves, et cetera, et cetera. And next thing you know, I throw my first party, and I'm like, wow, this is fun.
Yeah.
I love this.
I mean, you're throwing parties for a living.
I mean, think about it. Awesome. You're the host of your own party.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
How much more fun can you possibly have in your life, you know? And then I balance the crowd. So I have 50% women and 50% men. So
yes.
I always want to make it equal because, you know, we've all gone through our lives where you walk into a bar and it's all guys. It's
right.
Like, well, I'm not going to have any fun in here.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
50-50. And I'll make them short and sweet and fun. So that's how it started. And then from that, I started to observe the crowds.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start observing crowds, especially guys, you see how they put their foot in their mouth constantly, how they're always dropping
like
the ball.
Like I did yesterday with Mayor.
How they're always saying the wrong thing to women. You know, women are always complaining about this. But in defense of all men out there, women are just as bad. They make mistakes too.
Yeah.
So I came up with this idea. I said, well, I never had these types of problems before. I've been lucky in that sense. So I'm going to show these guys, like I've shown my personal friends, the best way to start conversations, the best way to get people to, you know, enjoy your company, things of that nature.
Right. Yeah.
And then I started writing this book, if you will, about how to talk to people, how to start conversations, body language, things of that nature.
Yeah. And what made you qualified to do that? Did you feel that you always had that you always had the confidence and all that you could teach other people?
Well, it was that. Plus, I used to do motivational speaking for years for my corporate offices, and I used to lecture young people. I'd go to, you know, auditoriums and lecture young people and get them motivated and talk about certain subject that would keep them motivated.
Oh, right.
Cool. That's a tough audience, 18-year-olds, you know.
Yeah.
And I knew I had that strength, and then I thought, well, I'm personable, I'm fun to be around, at least I think I am.
Yeah.
Let's just kind of, build upon it.
Do you also coach on body language? Because there's one thing that men sometimes approach me, and they do what I call the two-foot hip shuffle. I call it the two-foot, you know, two-step hip shuffle.
Describe it.
And basically what it is they come up. They kind of like glide towards me. It's to like a couple of steps right before me. And the whole body, for some reason, is like they start going into this suave thing, like step, step, hip, hop. You know, that kind of thing.
Where the hell do you go?
No, I mean, it's way a lot of men approach me because they do this. They think it's like kind of, I don't know whether they think it's cool or not, but it totally turns me off. Like, oh, my God, go away.
They hobble?
No, it's I don't know. I could probably, you know, show you, but obviously, you know, nobody can really. But it basically, it's an overconfident man who kind of emphasizes his hip movement, perhaps.
Yeah.
And they do the slight head tilt, and they do the ones like look down, look up, and you know, do the lip lick. And it just so grosses me out.
I mean, do men still come up with those lines and everything to pick up women?
Well, oh, yeah.
Of all the friends that I've had over the years, you know, I observe them and I realize, I think I know why you're single. You know, and if you have a close friend, you can tell them that.
Yeah.
You're still single, aren't you? Yeah, I can tell. You know, shoes, for example. Or,
yeah.
Or they think that they need a line to come up to women.
Right.
Or they make the mistake of approaching, like, let's say, a group of women. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
How crazy
that's
is
hard,
that?
Huh? That's,
you would never do that as a man. Yeah. You see
and
four
I
or five
think
women
their
together.
Ego, too. You know, their ego, too, gets in the way.
Perhaps. There's a lot of things that get in the way, you know, but it's really unfortunate because it's really not as hard as it should be, you know. Yeah. It's not about approaching just women. It's about approaching anybody. You know, I know people that can't talk to anybody at any time. If they go to a mixer at their job, they just have a tough time breaking the ice and talking to people. Right. Or they see people that have higher positions in the job, in the company. Let's say they're a VP.
Right.
They can't see themselves conversing with that person at that level.
You know.
I'm thinking, wow, it's just a person to me.
Yeah.
So we need to, it's really your own inner demons fighting.
Exactly. There, you whatever you build in there. Yeah. Cause I know when I look at beautiful women and something, you know, I get intimidated. You know, it's like, yeah, I'd like to approach her, but what if I get rejected and so forth? Cause she probably gets approached all the time. But the thing is that then I think, this is just a normal person. I mean, she's just like, you know, after I've been with her for a while, she'd be just like any of the other women I've been with. You know, she goes to the bathroom, she does this, you see her in the morning, you know, and with her hair all. So then you realize, I mean, this is just, like you said, a person.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not anything more or less than what you are, but it's all inside of you. It's all, you know, because, I mean, once you meet that person, you would go, why was I so afraid to approach him in the first place? You know, but it happens. It happens, and
the same for women too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I was going to say, so you would be teaching or coaching people on different levels. The people who are shy, introverted, then you've got the extroverted who like put their foot in the mouth, to speak.
I typically will focus on the first group. Like I'm doing a class tomorrow. It's called Shy in LA. How to talk to anybody about anything. So it's a class that teaches you how to approach anybody in any situation.
Right.
How to break the ice. So it can be for men and women. And you'd be surprised at the audiences. They're always 18 to 70.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's surprising. Very, very diverse group of individuals.
And how much does one of these classes cost?
They're like 50, 60 bucks. Yeah.
For how long?
Oh, it's like I'll talk for 2.5 hours. We'll make it fun, interactive. It's just a fun time for me.
That's not bad at all.
He's just like one of those motivators, like life coaches, right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Exactly what it is, right?
Yeah. I was always motivated and inspired by Anthony Robbins and all these speakers up there, and I thought, one day I'm going to do this, and here I am doing it at a classroom type of level, not auditoriums yet.
Uh-huh. No.
But it's just so enlightening to see people go, oh yeah, that's simple, and they're writing their little notes down. And then from that group, there'll be individuals that I'll work with one-on-one. So they may say, hey, Mark, what if we work together one-on-one? Then those are really a lot of fun.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Because you can hang out with them in an environment and say, okay, here's how we want to build, first of all, the basics. You know, we want to work on our style. We want to work on our posture.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the most essential.
Yeah.
Then we'll start going and try to utilize these little points that we've learned.
Right.
In a real life setting.
Right. And I see you have he's got some very interesting courses. Like one is for men only.
Yes.
How to be more irresistible to women using the secret laws of attention.
That.
You saw that?
Yeah.
Of attraction, sorry.
Yeah.
And then women only, the secrets to mystifying, capturing, and keeping your perfect dream guy. That sounds pretty interesting. I'll go.
Absolutely.
I'll go. Except I'm married. So.
Oh, darn.
But I do want to learn this shit. You know, I've always had, confidence problems
but
with women.
But you know
women.
What? I think even for being married, I think something, a course like this is probably extremely essential.
Yeah, but the mixers are probably not
because
good for me.
right. You may not like that.
No, because there's probably a lot of stuff you can learn regardless.
Absolutely. And one of the things I always teach in my classes is if you can approach everybody you meet, whether you're interested or not. In fact, focus on the ones you're not interested.
Yeah.
The person at the grocery store, the clerk at the mall, anybody, and practice talking with them.
Right.
Then when you come to the person you really want to meet, it'll just kind of flow.
You're absolutely right.
And those common sense techniques are what people just don't seem to really take to heart.
Yeah. See, I talk to anybody.
Yeah,
well, I can tell.
Yeah, she talks to anyone. She's very friendly, very social.
You know, as a matter of fact, you know the homeless guy that's usually on the way to the parking lot?
Yeah.
Well, his name is Stephen, Stephen. And
you know this whole shit about him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and the other day we had coffee together.
Really?
The Friday. Yeah, I bought him a coffee and we got talking. He's actually from Canada, from Ontario, Canada, and so on. And he came to the U.S. with his parents. His parents both passed away. I mean, like really, really interesting lifestyle. And
that's it. You see, you have the right attitude. That's it. Who in their right mind normally would talk to a person like that?
Yeah. Nobody. We were talking about that, and he says it's amazing how, you know, people just look away. I mean, he even said that people just don't want to, like, they don't want to know.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm invisible. And I says, you're not invisible to me, darling. And in fact, I find you very intriguing.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I had a friend 10 years ago who was a homeless person. I used to see her every day at work, and we used to talk, and she used to call me sweetie, and it was just the greatest experience.
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely, we've become a lot more aware of the homeless since we started working here, because there are so many of them. You know, and we're going to do something to try and help him and stuff, but that's besides the point. That's depressing. But, but I think Manu's point is well taken, and she's like, she's open with everybody, you know?
Doesn't matter who they are.
Yeah, and I think that really opens a lot of doors for you, you know, because, it opens, doors for you because, you know, people that are afraid to talk to you, you engage them in conversation instead. You know?
Absolutely.
So
it's about making them feel comfortable, because most people are just uncomfortable. They don't know what to say next.
Yeah.
So you have to realize that and then figure out, how can I make that person comfortable? And once I do that, then it'll just be reciprocated.
That's true. And it also makes sense when you start talking to the ones you don't want anything from, you know, it's a lot easier to talk to them because if you do meet a pretty girl and you want to pick her up and stuff, it's like you get nervous. What if she says yes? What if she says no? But when you just talk to anybody in the grocery store, it's like, damn if they do, damn if they don't.
I think the cutest thing or the most funniest thing I've ever been approached with was a bar napkin, right? And on it, it says, you look like the really coolest friend in, you know, that I would like to, you know, like get to know. Circle either one, and there was a yes and a no and a maybe.
Kind of like fifth grade, huh?
Yeah, it was really funny.
That's what I did in fifth grade. I slid it over to my, her name was Ingrid, I'll never forget. It was a napkin. Do you like me? Circle yes or no. Thank the Lord she said yes. But we dated for a whole 2 days.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
2 days. I was like brokenhearted after that.
But it was really cool. You know what I mean? It actually broke the ice. We ended up laughing about it. And I was like, well, of course. Yeah. Hell yeah. Why not?
It was a hell yeah right there.
Yeah. Like I put a H-E-L-L. Hell yes. You know, because he was so funny. I mean, he was out, he made it into a comic.
And
you know
he stood
what I mean?
Out, didn't he?
Yeah,
he stood out.
Yeah, he was funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what about you? I mean, are you hitched or did you find anybody? Or do you just keep yourself single? I mean, you know what? I would keep myself single if I had that kind of a business, you know?
Just be available. Well, I'm not married. Let's put it that
way. You're not married, okay.
But I do have a sweetheart in my life. And in fact, a lot of the things that I teach, we've kind of worked on it as a team. And it's really, really benefited both of us.
Nice, nice.
So, kind of share the love here.
I know. There you go. There you go.
But, you know, she also knows it. Okay, I always tease her. I say, now, you know, you backed up. You know, I got a lot of resources. She doesn't like that too much.
Yeah.
Of course, she knows I'm kidding.
Yeah. Did you meet her at one of these meetings?
No, I did not.
No, huh?
But I do meet a lot of great people.
I'm sure you do.
Fantastic
sure you do.
People.
Yeah.
Everybody has something great to offer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Once
everybody
you get
has.
Into people and you learn about them, there's a lot of interesting stuff there. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's something I notice about you. You're very personable with your eye contact and your facial expression.
Well, he's a confidence coach. What do you expect?
I know.
He needs to know all this stuff,
but
right?
The thing is I'm explaining that over the mic so people understand what I'm doing.
There you go. There you go. Okay.
Manu, are you flirting with me again?
Yeah, see? Well, he's the one that's flirting.
You see, she picked it out. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
well, thanks again for the compliment.
Yeah.
You guys are great too, by the way. I got a warm fuzzy right when I walked in. It was a very good feeling, you know.
Thanks. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
even though you all were in, you know, already in motion.
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely. I mean, that's what we do. We only have good people here, you know, by all means. Now, let me ask you this. How long have you had this business? When did you start?
Oh, it's been about a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not
a
lot of time.
It's
a young buck, and it's going to get bigger and better.
So where do you hold the classes? In different locations, et cetera, or is there one specific place you go?
I go to all the – I went through all the community colleges.
Okay.
They have a program that's set up just like the Learning Annex here. Oh, yeah, the exact same program. Yes. These community education classes.
Okay, great.
And they advertise in catalogs that mail to your home.
Yes.
And I started with them.
Okay, cool.
And then I started doing classes on my own in little places that we would find, conference centers and things like that.
Yeah.
I like the community college environment the best. It's kind of a classroom. It's simple. Nice little audience there.
What is it?
College environment.
Community college environment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
So I'll have a different class. Like tomorrow night, I think it's going to be in Rio Hondo, which is in Whittier.
Right.
That's that one. And then I got the women-only class coming up in Santa Ana College. And I don't know. It's all on the website. But just different college locations.
Yeah.
And that makes it easier for people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you the only one that leads those classes, or do you have other people doing that?
I'm doing it myself right now.
Nice.
Because it's
nice.
Fun. Remember I was telling
you? Oh, yeah, yeah. I just didn't know how much time you had and all that, but I would imagine I would make time to do this. You know, I mean, it's
A 2.5-hour class. I do maybe one a week right now.
Okay.
Just kind of, because
Doing
a lot of there's a lot of behind the scenes that goes on.
Yes.
With this,
obviously.
More than I ever imagined.
And so on.
And you know the rule, when everything goes wrong that you think is going to go wrong, it does go wrong. When you're building your businesses,
So, we know. But
I've aged a few years, let me tell you. Look at the wrinkle there. You see that?
Well, at least you're not going gray. Yeah.
No, well, you're not looking close enough.
But isn't that? I see one. Look,
see?
Look.
It's sticking right out there. It's sticking out of my forehead, right next to the horn. I got a couple of little ones here, right here, and on the sides. But supposedly they make me look more refined.
There you go.
You do not need
like
to
Sam.
Dye
well,
your
it's
hair.
Not any anywhere close, okay?
Sam has
and
that.
And besides, you're still young, you know? I mean, I'm starting to deal with aging and shit, so we're not going to talk about
what are you talking
that.
About? I'm sore, too, right now. My knees hurt just from walking.
Mine, too.
I had to park two blocks away, and now, creak.
I know. We don't do enough out here in L.A., you know? We barely move. That's why I decided we'll park a little farther, so we can walk a couple blocks.
You reckon that's farther? I don't know.
It's closer now.
It's closer.
But I just meant, because there's other parking lots right here.
Right. Yeah.
So they're just pricier as you get closer to
the park. I don't mind. I don't mind walking at all.
No, it's fun. It's fun.
I enjoyed it tremendously. In fact, I practiced my skills on the way down the street, talking to the vendors and talking to everybody,
There you go.
Smiling at people.
Normally nobody comes to downtown L.A., There's nothing to do here. On the weekend, it's dead. It's like a cemetery here. And it really is.
That's going to change, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're doing something about it.
Oh, yeah.
But because many parts of downtown are really seedy, but this area right here, the financial district, obviously is very clean and nice, but a lot more people are moving here to live, so, yeah, definitely.
I'd love to live here myself.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad.
Where are you located?
In the South Bay. You know where Redondo Beach area is?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Over there.
But it's nothing like the energy that the city offers.
Oh,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
In due time.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the thing is that we live here, and I love going to Redondo in that area because it's so peaceful. You've got the beach. It's beach towns, and people constantly walking on the streets and stuff. And, you don't see a lot of it.
My God, if I lived near the beach, I would be on the beach like every second that I could possibly get.
Yeah.
Just walking along or going for a little run or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you totally feel removed from the big city, It's like totally different. And
I always plan my escape.
Really?
She's going to escape. Oh, yeah, by ocean, right? And the first opportunity she gets, she's back to down under. But so anyway, do you want to promote? So you said you have a class coming up.
Yeah, I went tomorrow night. In fact, you can actually call. Can I give a number for?
Absolutely.
Let me give you a number. You can call to reserve a spot. It's tomorrow in Whittier. It's from 7 p.m. to about 9:15, 9:30.
Okay.
And this is the class on Shy in L.A., how to talk to anyone about anything at any time. And we cover everything from how to remember.
This is men only, right?
No, this is everybody.
Oh, this is everybody. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. You can contact Claire. She's at 562-463-4606. That's 562-463-4606.
Awesome.
And that class is fun. Not only do we have fun in the class, but then you get to take home the book that I wrote that kind of you can practice. Take home and remember the little
tidbits of
information.
And so on.
Little things that are going to be different than the average person. Instead of hi, how are you?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times do we hear that?
Yeah, I know. You're right. I'm telling you, I would go. Maybe I'll go.
Oh,
I
mean, like you need
this
it.
No, this is not about... No, really, I do. But this is not about men and women so much. It's just not to be shy, period.
Absolutely.
To be outgoing and stuff. Yeah. So that's awesome. I think anybody could use, something like that.
Yeah.
But...
And I, like I said, I make it, it's not like a regular class where you have the professor and he's, we're very fun, interactive, we're laughing, I get people up on the stage and practice with me, and you know, we really, really keep it like a family, mm-hmm. so they get the warm fuzzies when they leave.
And, and it becomes, I can imagine it can become quite humorous as well.
Oh, I'm a ham. I'm a total ham. Can you tell? I'm a total ham. So that's how I got into business. I'm entertaining people and I love it.
Yeah.
And when you love something, you know, you've always heard this as a younger person. Oh, you got to do what you love, and you never really understood it until you finally did it, and you realized,
what took me so long to do this?
Yeah, and that's what we're doing right now.
Absolutely.
We're doing what we love. You
I
know,
admire
what we've wanted to do all our lives, and it's a lot of fun. And you're right; you got to go after what you want. You know, and I think rather than build other people's dreams, you build your own dream. You know, and you start your own business. And you let it grow and it becomes you, you know, and you become it, you know.
It brings me to a good point. Whenever I tell men this, you know, a lot of things that are very important to women, and then I tell women what's very important to men. Mm-hmm. One of the things I tell men are, and actually it works for both, you have to have a story.
Mm.
In other words, when you meet people, you want to be the person that stands out in the crowd. And the best way to do that is to have a story, something to share that you have a passion for.
Right.
And most people don't do that. They say, well, you know, I work 9 to 5, come home, you know, da, 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 da.
Yeah. Boring.
Boring. Yeah, like, and that's what most people do. But when you tell somebody, I'm a confidence coach, I do classes on this, and they just, people are just, really? Tell me more. And pretty soon you've captivated an audience based on your true passion.
Yeah.
So I always tell men, I said, you need to find a passion. And the best way to do this is, because we all know this already, we already know the answer. We go to work every day and we dream about what we're not doing, whether it's taking a class, whether it's volunteering, whether it's, starting your own little website, whatever it is that you're not doing.
Many years doing that.
Absolutely. And you and I both.
I died. My soul died.
Your soul died. That's exactly. Yeah. And when your soul dies, everybody can tell. Just like when you're in a bar, everybody knows you're desperate. Yeah. Everybody knows you're single.
Yeah.
Because you carry it in your demeanor.
Right.
So if you have something to share, it comes across in every
And
every
even
way.
Even if you are in a relationship, that relationship is not successful because you aren't doing what you really love, and therefore you can't, you're not that person. You're not that real person, so you can't fully give yourself to anybody.
Absolutely. It's so true. Mm-hmm. So the same with the women, you know, and I've always practiced on women everywhere I go. I'm always talking to people, and I'll just question them, and they'll always tell me something like, boring, or you know, my ex-boyfriend, or I've been dumped. It's always something negative. I want to hear something that's going to make me want to talk to you. So you have to have a story.
Right.
That's
right.
I have plenty of them.
Yeah, she's got so many fucking stories. Yeah.
She's an encyclopedia. I'm an encyclopedia. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But you know, it kind of solves itself, because if you're a guy and you have a story, that solves the second thing that women are looking for, and that is confidence.
Mm.
Women are looking for confidence in a man.
Oh, yeah.
Chemistry, confidence, and probably conversation, my guess.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not necessarily what men think, which is how thick is my wallet, how big is my car. It's like, it's on the list, but it's way down at maybe number 10.
Really?
Yeah, it's very, very important to realize that if you come across as intriguing and fun and motivated and have a passion for something that you're striving for, I think... Well, in my personal experience, it's been working wonders.
What about for those shallow women who are just being gold diggers?
And then we move on to another woman?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to change them.
Yeah, you can't change them. But I'm saying, generally speaking, so that's why it's important. If I tell an audience, I'll say, if you're always practicing on everyone you meet, you're building that confidence, and eventually you're going to meet the person that's going to captivate you even more.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Same with the parties. You know, sometimes I'll have a party. Am I talking too much?
No.
Not at all. That's what you're here for.
Okay.
What else are we going to do?
I get so excited.
Talk
but
station.
Sometimes I'll have a party, and it happens on occasion, especially the singles parties, where I'll have a couple of women that will walk up, and they'll give me this, So where are the hot guys?
Really?
Oh, really?
You know, oh, man.
And what's so funny to me, and of course, I don't want to be defensive. You know, I want to play it along with it. The first thing that goes through my mind is you can't necessarily play out of your ballpark too far. Mm. So if you're an average-looking person and you're looking for Cindy Crawford or if you're looking for Brad Pitt, you're probably going to be looking for a long time,
not
right?
Not going to happen.
So, right. So the first thing they had was that against them. They were very average, okay?
Yeah.
So nothing wow. But the second thing I think that was most important is they had the wrong attitude.
Yes.
Remember, right. You're coming here not to meet Mr. Right, because if you really believe I'm going to throw a party that you're going to meet Mr. Right after all these years of not finding him,
yeah.
I said that's being really kind of naive.
Unrealistic,
naive, yeah.
But number two is, why don't you look at what the opportunity does offer you? Mm-hmm. What if you meet someone who's just a great, cool person who happens to be in a business that intrigues you? Maybe that person has a brother. Mm-hmm. Maybe that person is who knows, right?
Yeah.
Just
knows.
Look at them for what they are and accept them for who they are and just build your group of friends and acquaintances more than just trying to find the hit run or the home run.
Yeah. Right.
Make sense?
Yeah.
No,
it does.
That's the attitude.
But I mean, yeah. I mean, if I overheard women talk like this, I'd run for the hills. You know, I mean, well, what is this? Yeah, where are the good guys? You know, where are the cool guys and stuff? So, I mean, it's crazy. You know, it's really crazy. But I think, like you said, attitude is everything. Because I see,
so cliche.
Yeah, it is, but it's true. You know, I mean, sometimes you see someone that they're not great looking. Okay, they don't really have a lot to offer, but they have a great attitude and they talk all the time. You know, and they're out there and they make conversation. And I think that's what gets people into relationships. You know, nobody's gonna come to you. That's what I learned a long time ago. People don't come to you unless you're Beth Hammond, who was the beautiful girl on the phone the other day. Earlier. But yeah, when you're just an average person, people don't come to you. You got to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know.
And if you are an average person, you know, and you're a female, the best way to make that happen, there's a couple of things I would think you would agree, Manu, is number one, you need to smile more.
Yeah.
Because men, when they don't see a smile, that is already.
Yeah.
You know, rule number one. And why would I approach a person who's not smiling? Because I'm already afraid of rejection.
Right.
That's going to build upon that, right?
Yeah.
And then eye contact, too, wouldn't you say? I mean, when I walk by a woman and there's no eye contact, I hate her.
Yeah, I hate her.
It's like, hey, I'm fucking here. Take a look.
That's so true. It's so true. They're always trying to find that perfect. In other words, I don't want to make the effort or show my interest unless it's a really great-looking guy.
Right.
I say, but wait. When do those happen? When do those opportunities come up? Very rarely, right? So let's take our opportunities on all the ones that you're not necessarily interested in, and you'll attract more attention that way.
Right.
And then there'll be more of those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the guys, I tell them, I said, go shopping with a woman. Isn't that
really?
Smart? Oh, yeah. I tell you, if you're going to go buy clothes,
go
with a woman.
Go
with Manu. Tell her to take you shopping for the jeans and the shoes and the shirt.
You're absolutely right.
Don't
you know?
Go by what you think women want, because, you know, they walk in with tennis shoes, white tennis shoes, into a nightclub. And you're thinking, come on. You know, the women are looking at your shoes right away and going, what are you thinking, loser?
Yeah. Actually, I noticed your shoes.
See?
They're very good.
Thank
very
you.
Nice.
Yeah, women do
nice.
Notice shoes.
Absolutely.
I've noticed that. And I don't know. Speaking only for myself, I rarely look at shoes as the first thing, you know?
Of course.
Because it means you're going to look down at the ground, you know?
I do. Yeah. I look at the shoes.
Yeah. But women do look at shoes. They check out shoes.
I don't know why.
I don't either.
Never did.
I don't know.
Ever before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I talked to my current girlfriend about all the stories when she was dating.
Yeah.
And she used to tell me all the reasons why she didn't continue dating men.
Yeah.
And it was always little things like that.
Really?
Oh, he had these shoes that were like grandpa shoes, or he wore white socks with black leather shoes, or, you know, something that was really wrong. And
now,
that was her thing.
I haven't been as far as that,
Well,
I have been as far as, like, he had ugly feet.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't, you know, I mean, seriously. You know what I mean?
I've heard that one before. And by the way, I just had my toes all day.
Oh, you did?
Oh, they're very nice.
Awesome.
There you go.
They look, I was looking down on them this morning, I'm thinking, my God, those are sexy toes.
Yeah. But you know what? It's so true. It's so true about going with women to shop, because, in fact, my wife buys all the clothes for me now because she doesn't like what I buy. And she insists on dressing me up. And I said, okay,
You know, you're okay with
but this, yeah, this shirt I happened to find myself, and I said, okay, I'm gonna get this. But yeah, I agree because women do know what they like. So if you're gonna dress for women to notice you, you want to have a woman help you dress up.
Absolutely, I agree. Especially if you're a single guy.
You know what really appeals to me for some odd reason? I don't know, jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
With some nice shoes.
Yeah.
But jeans and a t-shirt for me is just like it just claims that you're very simple, you're down to earth, it kind of shows off your body, and, you know, and the other thing that turns me off is bellies. I just don't like bellies at all.
Yeah, but you know what, it's like, but you still have to know how to wear your jeans and your t-shirt, you know?
Well, yes,
I mean,
because
just about everybody wears jeans and t-shirts, but some people wear them differently than others,
that's
you know?
True, that's
it's
true.
The shoes that go with it, it's whether the t-shirt is wrinkled or not, if your jeans fit nicely, you know, many men, it's like the pants just hanging, you know?
Oh, well, I don't like that.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like many men don't really care about what they look like, you know? They put on a pair of shorts, you know, a sweatshirt, tennis shoes, and they're out, you know, and it's like I can't imagine.
Yeah. It's like
they don't shave, you know, in the morning, don't take a shower.
It reminds me of my friend. His name is Phil. Okay. He, you described him to a T. You know, the dirty old shorts, the shoes, the leather shoes without socks, the t-shirt that has holes, and he will not consider dating or talking to any woman unless she's a 10. And I'm looking at this guy going,
yeah right.
Man, you better step it up there, buddy. You'll be a lonely old man if you don't watch it.
Talk about not being in your own league, like you mentioned.
Just kind of play within your league a little bit, you know.
Not to
say that you shouldn't have, aspirations.
If you've got those aspirations, then you need to switch it up. Absolutely. Otherwise, you're going to continue getting the same level as what you're dressed as.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You may not necessarily be there. You know what I mean? In person and what so, but you're going to attract that kind of person.
Yeah.
I discovered that, I have to admit.
In other words, just go with the flow. If you know what works, like women are always fighting me on the thing that, and I tell them, I say, you know, men are visual and physical creatures. There's nothing we can do about it. It was a chip that was installed at birth that said, we're going to be shallow pigs and we're looking at only visual and physical.
Yeah.
That's just how it works right now. If you can accept that, then you can benefit from it. But a lot of women I've talked to, this, oh, I'm not going to change for any man. He has to accept me for who I am. And I thought, well, I understand that, but I'm saying...
But they're fighting nature.
They're fighting
nature.
So in other words, if you know that men would like you, let's say, thinner or long hair versus short hair, you know, because a lot of married men, for example, say, well, as soon as my wife and I got married, she cut all her hair off.
Yeah,
I don't like
that.
I like long, sexy hair.
Yeah.
So, but if you knew that as a single woman, then give us what we want. In other words, your goal is just to get as many people to attracted to you.
Yeah.
Then you have the power to determine who you want to shoo away and who you want to keep.
Right.
But if you're not getting anybody attracted to you, then you're going to be frustrated and angry, and you're going to come to my party and say, where are all the hot guys?
Yeah.
And I don't want you to do that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, this is extremely interesting, huh, Manu?
I'm glad.
Yeah, one of our funnest guests for sure. And you see, and that's the thing, is that you come across...
I bet you say that to all the guys.
No, I really don't, you know?
Oh, yeah. Tell me, Manu, does he?
Well, yeah. Oh, I don't know. No. You're on the same level as the cowgirl that came in.
Cowgirl?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was so funny.
Yeah, but she was... you can download that.
But
that
she had
from
confidence.
Website. Yeah.
I mean, she came in, she was...
I mean,
all
she was dressed like a friggin' cowgirl. I mean, out of a rodeo, you know? She had all the whole garb and everything.
The whole get-up and gear, spurs and all.
But anyway,
a radio show.
Yeah.
Now you need to go to video, and then we'd be having something here.
But we truly have to wrap up because Gina Hendricks is coming up next with Love Life Makeovers. She's got a great guest. And that's about it. Mark, thank you very much. Let's give out your website again. Go ahead.
It's moshe.net. It's moshe.net. And if you have any questions, you can email me personally. I always take them. It's mark@moshe.net.
Right. And there's a picture of him also, so you can see what he looked like. And we'll take a picture of you and Manu, so we'll have we can put you on the gallery.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah, that'll be cool. So that's moshe.net. That's Mark Aguirre, a great guest. Thank you very much, Mark. All the best to you.
Thank you so much for having me,
guys. And we'll try and catch
those
classes.
Nice to meet you.
And we'll be back tomorrow. And not after this, but tomorrow. And
yeah.
And we'll see you then. Take care.
Bye.
If you're not listening to California Dreaming, you're missing out on all the important stuff.
Masturbation is costing society a lot of water. Okay.
What?
Okay.
Where did you get this from?
Okay, look, you take your shower, you shampoo, you soap yourself, blah, 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 and then you start going at it, right? So what is it, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes? That's a lot of water. I mean, can you imagine how much water is wasted on that? Just imagine how many gallons you think probably go through the shower heads in a minute. So I think we're going to have a drought, regardless of whether it rains here or not, because people wasted water masturbating, you know? Do it elsewhere. Don't do it in the shower, okay?
Sam says vote no masturbate in 08. It's California Dream. California Dream. With your host Sam and Mondo, only on BBS Talk Radio. Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio.